It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's quarter number two of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Remember, bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante, along with Greg Pickle. Greg, this segment, I want to get into an article that you had written the other day that I found interesting, which was five things that we're going to look at going into May with this Penn State football program. I'm skipping one of them. I'm going right to number two on your list, and that was, is the commitment run over for now? We had this wonderful April with all these commits. Please don't tell me that run is going to end.
Yeah, you know, Jim, I think it has to at some point, right? So, you know, it sounds like a little bit of a broken record, and almost every week I am proven to be wrong yet again. But, you know, you look at this class, Terry Smith, the, cornerbacks coach and defensive recruiting coordinator, I believe he's now also the assistant head coach. He has a lot of titles, but he had said that this class was going to be smaller, and he don't need to be a mathematician to figure out why. After Penn State signed one of the largest classes in history, and certainly of the James Franklin era last year, maybe the largest class ever in Penn State recruiting history, combined with more guys coming back than expected. And you look at that, you know, outlook of guys who could leave after this season for the NFL, and it's impossible to project right now. It's impossible to project as is. This time last year, if you would have told me Tariq Castro Fields and Michael Mennett were both back with Penn State for another season, I would have probably told you were nuts, and here we are. So try predicting that stuff now with all the uncertainty about when college football will be played, when the next NFL draft will be held, and so on. So at any rate, we're looking at a class. It's 17 to 21 players, I think, tops. Unless they have a big exodus, either through the transfer portal or through the NFL draft entry process at the end of this season. So I just don't think you're going to be able to get close to 25 with the way the current numbers work. I mean, Penn State's already still two over the 85-man limit for the 2020 season. And so that'll obviously have to get rectified, and it will, but it's not like they're going to have any wiggle room really. So Penn State's going to go into the season at 85 scholarships. I mean, at best, maybe 83 or 84. Some guys decide to transfer before the start of this season. But let's be honest, Jim, who is going to want to transfer with all the uncertainty around college football right now? It's hard enough to find a roster spot when you go into the transfer portal, unless you're just a superstar quarterback or a surefire running back or another skill position. So, you know, I think Penn State's already tight on numbers to begin with. And so at some point, you're going to have to put the brakes on some of these. Penn State wants all the guys that it's taken, so I don't want to make it sound like some of these guys aren't top priorities. But, you know, if you're going to wait it out for some of the bigger names on the board, like a Tony Grimes, the five-star corner, like one of some of the running backs they're looking at, like Nolan Rucci, like Tristan Lee, the other offensive tackle that's a five-star in this class, you know, at some point you're going to have to put the brakes on and say, hold on a second, we need to wait for these guys to decide before we start looking elsewhere. So I don't know if that time has come in totality, but between the fact that guys haven't visited campuses and at some point you're going to run out of players who still want to decide because of that, combine that with the idea of, you know, Penn State again having a limited space in this class. And I just think that, you know, it's a drought built on necessity, not built off of an inability to find anyone to commit to you. I just think maybe they can take a player or two more. But again, if you want to fill this class up with the best players on the board, at some point you're going to have to sit tight and wait for them to be ready to decide. Most of these guys won't be deciding until, they can take visits and stuff again. And who knows when that's going to be.
Well, this is the balancing act that they have to deal with every season. And it's just more so this year because of, you know, the lockdown, and you don't see players at camp. You don't have the players who might have left after spring practice once they see the handwriting on the wall. But it leads to a couple things I think we have to realize is, number one, the team, the coaching staff probably knows a little bit more than we do. A little peek into that was when Landon Tengwall talked to our buddy Dustin Hawkinsmith, and he was already telling us, all right, Christian Vaiu's going to be the quarterback that comes in. And that was prior to his commitment. And if you had looked a little bit deeper, you could see that Penn State appeared to only be looking at two quarterbacks, Christian Vaiu, Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, it looked like that ship had sailed. So if you had put two and two together, you probably knew where they were going to end up there anyway. So give the coaching staff some credit that they probably know a little bit in advance who's coming, and a little bit more than we do, let's put it that way. But that also leads to another question. I did want to ask you about this in segment number one. An article came out about Christian Vaiu saying he wanted to be the only quarterback in the class. Did that surprise you at all, Greg?
No, not really. I mean, I think that when you look at the depth chart at Penn State, I mean, at this point, Christian Vaiu is going to come into, and I don't have the roster in front of me, so I could be wrong on this, but if I'm not mistaken, at least one more year of Sean Clifford, at least two more years of Will Levis, at least three more years of Taquan Roberson and Michael Johnson Jr., and at least four more years of Micah Bowens. Now, so that's, yes, of course, all assumes
he will be the sixth quarterback.
Right. And that, of course, assumes, you know, redshirting and guys don't transfer and things like that. But I mean, obviously, it's not ideal to be behind that many guys to begin with. But at any college football playoff contending program, you're going to have that situation. So I don't think that was a hindrance for Penn State. But if you say to a guy, yeah, we want you and another guy to wait behind all of those guys, potentially, that's where it becomes a problem. And I respect the kid who knows what he wants and says, look, in the age of the transfer portal and everything else, you know, it's not in my best interest to come in with two quarterbacks at this point in time. So, no, I wasn't surprised by that even a little bit, Jim.
In fact, I'm actually would be more surprised if these top quarterbacks weren't saying that. You know, they have the ability. This is when they have the power to decide where they're going, and they have a say in it. I'm surprised if a quarterback doesn't say that. You also referenced this whole idea that Penn State is now still at 87 scholarship players and need to whittle that down, at least two more players to get it down to the 85-man limit. They don't have the spring practice for players to realize, hey, I'm further back in the depth chart than I thought I was. How is this going to happen, Greg? Is there going to have to be a couple uncomfortable conversations by the coaching staff?
I mean, I think that, again, kind of to go back to play off of a point you just said a second ago. I mean, the coaching staff always knows more than what we know, right? So if there's some guys who were planning on leaving no matter what at the end of the spring semester, my suspicion is that there are a couple of those guys, Jim, who were going to say, look, no matter whether or not there's a global health crisis or not, I want to go try and play somewhere else for my last season or for however many seasons I have left, whatever. So, you know, I think that ultimately everything being equal, I think they'll be just fine. I think that maybe some uncomfortable conversations were had to be had only because they had to do it over electronic communication and not in person, not sitting in James Franklin's office with a player and his family kind of discussing the options, which is unfortunate, but you know, nobody, it's not like anybody signed up or, you know, demanded it be that way. It just kind of is the way it is. So I just think that, you know, if they were it like six guys that they had to have leave, Jim, I think that'd be a bigger issue and more of a concern. But I think that, you know, the number they're at right now, they'll be just fine.
Okay. Let's get to a couple other points that you talked about. One was the top April takeaways about the offense. And we got a chance to hear from essentially all of the assistant coaches in the last several weeks. So what are your April takeaways about the offense, Greg?
Well, I mean, obviously those that were concerned that Kirk Ciarrocco would not be able to, who would not be able to fit a tight end in those offense, I think you could stop worrying about that. He said now multiple times that, hey, look, if we have the one of the best tight ends in the country, which they're going to have in Pat Freiermuth, they'll find a way to get him on the field and get him involved. So I think that's one thing to note. I also was really, really impressed by how he really brought the whole staff into the planning of this offense, Jim. It wasn't just him and him only and his way or the highway. And you could tell that the other coaches really respected that. And it might seem like a simple thing, But ultimately, you know, when it comes down to having the respect of everyone in that room, it can be hard when a guy comes in and he's the new face and there's been guys there already and all that. And so, you know, I think that all told, Penn State's going to be in a really good place on offense. And I was really, I don't want this to come off with a shot at Matt Leingrover, because Matt Leingrover was always great with the media. The guys on the team seemed to love him, but, you know, they weren't getting enough production. That's why they made a change. And so, you know, you look at Phil Troutwine, and he just has a different, you know, personality about him and a different presence about him that I think is really going to improve this offensive line. And again, I don't know how to say this any other way to make it sound like a shot at Matt Leingrover. It's not. I'm sure he knew what he wanted to teach and how to get it across to his players, but Phil Troutwine does a really good job of articulating those things to non-football players, and you can only assume that that means that the guys who actually understand completely what he's talking about, you know, they're further along because of it. So I think those things impress me the most, Jim.
And he's got a nice veteran group to work with. This is probably the most talent on the offensive line in the James Franklin era. Let's take a quick look at the defense and what Brent Pry has coming back. What did we find out there, Greg, from his group?
Yeah, maybe not as many particulars as I would have expected us to learn. So I thought that was maybe an interesting takeaway of all that. But look, I mean, obviously Brandon Smith and Lance Dixon are expected to be pretty big parts of the defense here in 2020. And John Scott Jr., the new defensive line coach, has a lot to learn when it comes to all the moving pieces in this defensive line room and in the recruiting department. But it sounds like he has his feet under him. It won't be easy to take over for Sean Spencer, but he really liked his tone and his demeanor when we got to talk to him recently. So I think that Brent Pry made a good choice there. And, you know, when you move back to the secondary, they think Lamont Wade and Jaquan Brisker are the answer. But one thing we heard Brent Pry say was, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was wrong with the pass defense. And I do think that it was not just the secondary that was to blame for the issues there. I think sometimes the middle of the defense did not do what it was supposed to do, and that left those guys on the island. I think sometimes the pass rush was so inconsistent that quarterbacks had, and especially Tanner Morgan and Kirk Shiraka's Gophers, had way too much time to sit back there and pick the secondary apart, and there weren't too many defense in the country that could have withstood that pressure. So, you know, you put it all together, and I think the biggest takeaway is if you believe in Brent Pry, you believe in this coaching staff, and I think you should, you know, you should feel pretty good that they used this extra time in the classroom and away from the field to really diagnose what was wrong. Kirk Shiraka was obviously able to come in and point out some weaknesses, and that helped. And I think this group will be better for it.
Okay, that is it for quarter number two. Quarter number three, it's time to ask Greg.
So what's so different about new Labatt Blue Citra? Could be the bright hop aroma or the crisp, clean finish that all come together for a new kind of refreshing. Brewed with Citra and Mosaic hops, all new Labatt Blue Citra delivers ultimate drinkability and a new way to get up and get out. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Everyone knows AAA gives you peace of mind when you're out on the road. But did you know you get other perks as well? Besides providing reliable roadside service for over 100 years, AAA also provides great discounts on entertainment, prescriptions, rental cars, hotels, insurance, and so much more. Take advantage of everything AAA has to offer. Purchase, renew, or upgrade your membership today at AAA.com.
This is Jim Galante with the Keystone Sports Network. We know there are a lot more important things going on than whether there are any sports. But we'd like to give you a little break from everything else happening in our world with some Penn State football talk. College football will come back. In the meantime, we hope you enjoy the Keystone Kickoff Show. Find all our shows at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the app Keystone Sports. Stay safe, and thanks for listening.